So Christine O'Meara obtained her master's degrees in anthropology and public health from the University of Hawaii. Her career of public health includes tobacco use prevention and cessation, educational materials development, and training as part of the Massachusetts Tobacco Prevention and Control Program. For almost one decade, she managed a national award-winning statewide multimedia campaign to reduce infant mortality and sudden infant death syndrome in North Carolina. Since 2007, she was the program development coordinator for the Georgia Health Sciences University, formerly Medical College of Georgia, Center for Patient and Family-Centered Care. While at the center, she was a member of a research team studying the use of electronic personal health records to help manage hypertension and funded by the Agency of Healthcare Research and Quality, ARC. She also managed a Patient and Family-Centered Care Rounds project presented at national and international conferences and meetings, conducted training and education for health profession students, residents, and healthcare professionals, developed educational materials, and produced two videos in a recently released PFCC Basics app for mobile devices. She was actively involved in the Georgia Health Sciences University's Quality Enhancement Plan to enhance student learning and cultural competency.
Good morning. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for getting up early and coming to our session. I want to acknowledge the other authors and participants in the research project, Shalyn Howard, Christina Kitzinger, Yoon-ho Seol, and Peggy Wagner. The title of my presentation, Engaged Healthcare Consumers and Electronic Personal Health Records, an Opportunity for Patient-Provider Partnerships or Not. Now, I am talking about electronic personal health records, not electronic medical records, and I'll offer a definition in just a moment. And I have nothing to disclose, but I do need to tell you that the work was supported by a grant from the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, ARC, and our findings and conclusions are those of the authors and do not represent the views of ARC. So no statement in this report should be considered, construed as an official position of ARC or other the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I do want to acknowledge the principal investigator, Pat Sadomka, who died last year, and Peggy Wagner, who was also a principal investigator. Now, Pat was a leader in patient and family-centered care. She was my boss directly, and she told me that the work in patient and family-centered care that she did was not on the leading edge, but on the bleeding edge, because they were constantly pushing the envelope, and she was a true patient advocate. I'm going to tell you about the overall purpose of our study, and I was brought onto the study just last year, so for the final year of that study. And then I'm going to only present on a portion of the study that I was involved in. But the overall purpose was to determine the effectiveness of electronic personal health records, their use with hypertension patients to improve health outcomes. And we wanted to assess changes in provider and support staff, nursing staff primarily, awareness and incorporation of patient and family-centered care concepts resulting from the implementation of the personal health record. Now, my objectives this morning are to compare patients' and providers' perceptions towards PHRs, differentiate between systems and individual barriers to using and implementing personal health records effectively. Come on in. That's all right. And to identify strategies to overcome barriers and enable effective use of the personal health record. It's important that we begin with a definition because people are confused about the difference between an electronic medical record, also known as an electronic health record. Our previous speaker was referring to electronic medical records. And these are computerized systems of accessing patients' health care and information in real time. They are considered the legal medical record, analogous to the paper record. Ownership is with the provider, the healthcare system or other, such as insurance companies, for example. And access, maintenance, and management is by the provider or clinician, the healthcare system, or the institution or health insurance plans that own those records. And these records are accessible 24/7. Now, a definition of the electronic personal health record, or in some cases you'll see it referred to as the EPHR. We're referring to it here as the PHR. This is a record that is controlled, maintained, and managed by individuals, by the patient and or their caregiver. It is separate from the legal medical record, and selected information can be populated by the electronic medical record data. It is accessible 24/7. It's computer-based, web-enabled, and accessible by computer, phone, or tablet. And it is also dynamic. It combines data, knowledge, software tools that can promote engagement. So I want to talk first about our methods. We took a two-pronged approach for this aspect of the study. The participants, both providers, and by providers I mean the physicians in internal medicine and family practice, as well, there were 13 of those, and as well as nursing staff, and 16 of those. So and then the patients. So these were self-administered patient empowerment scales. The PEZ were administered before and after implementation of the personal health record to assess perceptions about access to medical records. And both providers and patients completed the PEZ. Then I conducted semi-structured interviews using the Technology Acceptance Model, or TAM. Some of the questions were modeled after the TAM work of Richard Holden, and applied to electronic personal health records. And these interviews were conducted at the end of the study. One of the research associates interviewed the patients. I did not, but they were one-on-one interviews, and I interviewed the physicians and nursing staff. The physician interviews were one-on-one. They took about an hour to administer and were tape recorded and transcribed. And the nursing staff, I conducted 3 focus groups and 1 interview with those. A little bit more about the methods. The PEZ Part A was really asking about the likelihood of consequences if the provider shared the outpatient medical records with adult patients. It had 2 parts. The first part was a 4-point scale, strongly agree, disagree, agree, and strongly agree. And an example, I put an example of the questions here. Your patients would better understand their medical conditions, agree, strongly agree, disagree, or strongly disagree. Or your patients would find the lab and x-ray reports confusing. Part P of the PEZ looked at beliefs around care and the patient-provider relationship and the power of that relationship, and that was a 6-point scale. And the example of the question there is the patient must always be aware that the doctor is in charge. So we're looking at the relationship between patients and providers. I want to give you some of the results of the PEZ study, the effect on I want to give you a little bit more background about the PEZ. So we're looking at benefits to using to sharing information about the outpatient medical record, the effect on the relationship between the patient provider, how prepared is the patient for visits, do they understand their condition, identifying errors in the medical record, the sense of control and satisfaction. Some of the risks that are inquired are confusion about information, worry or offense by notes, or will the patient have more questions? And to the PEZ, we added 2 additional questions. So the physicians filled out the same scale, but we added a question about workload and the effect on workload of sharing patient medical record. And then how would this affect the documentation in their record? I'm going to hop now to the TAM model, the Technology Acceptance Model. So in this model, we're looking at beliefs around how likely will the participants adopt the technology, for example. So we're looking at behavioral beliefs, advantages and disadvantages, or ethical issues, normative beliefs, how do the opinions of others influence the adoption of the technology. In this case, and we are applying this to the personal health record. Control beliefs. What are some of the facilitating conditions and experiences of the providers themselves and the patients, and other beliefs as far as implementation? We want to look at ease of use. How easy is it for them to adopt this technology? Will it enhance? Do they see benefits? Will it enhance their performance, improve quality and safety? And are there benefits to the patient and family? And also usefulness. How much physical or mental effort does it take to use the record? And we also asked providers, did they intend to use the record going forward? A little bit about the study sample. This is a subset of the overall study. There were 122 patients that actually used the record to varying degrees or were trained to use it. Excuse me. Let me go back up. The study took place in a family medicine clinic and in an internal medicine clinic. We had 29 providers participating there, 13 physicians, 16 nursing staff. And then the gender of the patient sample, primarily females, three-quarters were females, and we did not record the gender of the people in the focus group, but it was primarily female. A breakdown by racial characteristics, 52% of male patients were white and 42% were black, and almost 6% other. We looked at education levels, and so we had a range of education levels, primarily some with college or two-year degree was the largest group, and all the way to postgraduate. Now, the study took place in an academic medical setting. Some of the patients were indeed staff at the university, faculty and staff. We broke our study sample of patients into a no-use group, low-use, which meant they used the, well, let me explain no-use, was they did not use the electronic personal health record after they were trained to use it. The low use was they used it one or two times. The medium use was 3 to 5 times after the training or every other month or monthly. And then the high use group was about over twice a month. So we did not find an association between education level and frequency of electronic personal health record use. And in fact, the majority of the high use group did report having a two-year college degree or less. So I think that's important in terms of thinking about who is the population that we'll be using and we're receptive to using the personal health record. Okay, so some of the results of our study findings were that patients and providers both perceive benefits to the personal health record. And significant along those lines was that it was perceived to increase patient empowerment and engagement in care. And some of those measures were that the patients would have increased sense of control, providers and patients were pretty congruent in their perceptions around that. The patient was perceived to be better prepared for their visits, and patients improved adherence to the provider's recommendations. We saw that providers perceive more risks for patients having access and using personal health records. They were more likely to believe that patients would be confused by test results. So you see patients reported 36% perceive confusion. And this is a subset of 89 patients who completed the interviews. While 93% of the providers felt that patients would be more confused by test results. Providers were very concerned that the patients would worry more about their health and about the information in their records. 24% of patients reported worry, and 82% of the providers. And providers were more likely to believe that patients would be offended by some things in their records, whereas 11% of the patients indicated that. And you see the p-values there. So I want to shift gears now. That was looking at the patient empowerment scale. Now we're going to look at the technology acceptance model, and we're looking at perceptions around use of the electronic personal health record. So some of the advantages that were cited by patients was empowerment, tracking and keeping track of their blood pressure. This study was tied into a hypertension study. We wanted to see if the personal health record would indeed have a clinical outcome or contribute to improved blood pressure. But patients felt the most valuable aspect of using the electronic personal health record was that they could chart over time their blood pressure. They were able to upload blood pressure readings from home onto their personal health records. They appreciated having access to information and seeing test results and found information, having access to information was useful. They found the advantage of self-care, a sense that they could control their own health and were engaged in their own care. Communication, our previous speaker spoke about communication for the electronic medical record. Well, we also see that as an advantage for the personal health record. They were able to email their providers and set up appointments electronically. And usability, some of the users reported that the electronic personal health record was easy to use and easy to access. So that was important for them. So those were advantages. For providers, similar areas around empowerment, information sharing, and helping to give patients more ownership around their own health and their health information was seen as empowering to patients, and they felt that patients had an increased understanding of their medical conditions. Self-care, they found patients to be more involved and proactive and responsible for their health. Quality and safety was an advantage identified by the providers. They felt the personal health record could be used to verify information, certainly to reconcile medications. This would be information that patients would import and input. And they thought that one advantage would be to reduce test duplication. Providers saw the advantage not only for patients, but for themselves to be able to track blood pressure readings over time. So to get the trend and see how the patient was doing over time. Some of the disadvantages, these are also behavioral beliefs, but some patients felt that if they weren't computer literate, and some of the patients were not computer literate, and they felt that that was a disadvantage to the personal health record. Security was a concern. With others getting access, and in fact, concerned that insurance companies might get access to their personal health records was a concern. One of the disadvantages the patients felt was that they had to enter some of their own medical medication information and some of their own lab information that wasn't linked to the record, so to the medical record. They felt that some of the information on the personal health record was limited, so I think they wanted more information. It was not linked to the medical record except certain pieces. So, and they experienced technical difficulties And that was a source of frustration for them, and it's something we need to keep in mind. So there were problems with links to the record itself or to the message system. Some of the disadvantages identified by providers was that they were concerned about a negative impact on patients, about their relationship with their patients, that they would be more worried, confused, offended by notes in the record, and also overwhelmed by information that they wouldn't know how to interpret. They felt there would be a negative impact on their relationship in some cases, but significantly, and especially among the nurses, a negative impact on workflow, increased workload, needing to answer more patient questions, and so on. So there was a strain, a possible strain in the relationship with the patients for both the physicians and also for the nursing staff. Another disadvantage was misunderstanding. They were concerned about, providers were concerned about inaccuracies in the medical record, inaccuracies because different providers are entering data or mistakes are made in entering the information, and concerned that that might lead to an increase in liability. And because the electronic personal health record is an opportunity for patients to enter their own medical information, they were concerned about inaccuracies in the patient's entering information as well. So patient entered. Some of the factors that might enable use, some of the normative beliefs, the opinions of others, for example, identified by patients were some of the benefits would be engaged and access to information. They felt that having access to the electronic personal health record would contribute to helping them maintain their blood pressure or control their blood pressure, and that they would feel more responsible for their health. A communication enabling factor was keeping the doctor informed. So for providers, some of the factors to enable use would be internal and external entities, both professional organizations, sort of this growing trend towards the use of personal health records, their own department's expectations, which was to begin to implement a personal health record, and a shift in the culture and norm of the clinics. Providers more likely to use the personal health record, they felt, were providers who were recently trained, those clinicians and physicians of the computer generation, those that were computer savvy, those who see their role as a teacher, so using the personal health record as a vehicle for helping to coach or teach and inform their patients. For those physicians who see themselves in the role of consultant to their patient, and those who believe in a team approach to care were more likely to see these as factors that enable the use of personal health records. Patients and families, the fact that patients and families want to use and are using personal health records was also an enabler. And then systems and technology, access to the technology and systems that support that. Some of the barriers, and we're going to look at barriers to use both from individual level and systems level. So for some of the perceived barriers for patients was usability, the technical difficulties, and some of the functionings not working. The fact that it was not linked to the medical record, so they didn't have access to their entire record, and some patients feeling that they were computer illiterate. Some of the barriers perceived by the physicians was the patient's lack of access to computers and personal health records. And in fact, some of the providers felt that this would widen the digital divide between them and their patients. Some unmet expectations for patients and staff. The providers were concerned that the patients would be looking at their personal health record if it was linked to the electronic health record, that they would be focused on trying to correct the record retrospectively as opposed to focusing on their current reason for their visit and moving forward. So And also, again, here the cultural norm of just the clinic, you know, how willing is the clinic and how willing are the staff to adopt the use of the personal health record or not. So that was considered a barrier. A negative impact on workflow, and that would be increased time that it would take to explain things to patients, to answer patients' questions, to email and correspond with patients by email when they're not being compensated for that service. And then systems and technology, just some of the glitches that we experienced were perceived as barriers. Overcoming some of the individual barriers would be to enable capacity and access by both patients and staff. Certainly linking the electronic personal health record to the medical record, including more health information, making that information easily accessible to patients so that as the questions arose, as they were looking at their health information, their questions could be answered and they could research that themselves. And providing technical assistance. Now, these were suggestions that providers identified as well. Providing technical assistance to both providers and to patients to address the workflow in the clinical setting, but also step-by-step instructions to enable the patients and the providers to access the electronic personal health record, guidelines on appropriate use. And the suggestion there was to clarify very clearly for the patients when is it appropriate to email your physician versus making an appointment to go into the clinic or even getting to the emergency room? How much time should elapse between the time that the patient sends the clinician an email to report on a symptom or whatever, and how soon is the physician required to respond to the patient? You know, within 24 hours, within 3 days, you know, what's reasonable, what's expected? And to have these guidelines that lay out very specific expectations or address those expectations. And key to the integration of electronic personal health records with for patients and providers is to provide sustainable support to patients. You can't some people suggested a patient coach. Well, that requires resources. Who's going to pay for that? But the idea that you just give the patients the personal health record and expect them to use it, what we believe is that patients need more support than that in using the technology. Okay, just about finished. And barriers to overcoming the personal health record, some of the system barriers were to develop the and enhance the infrastructure. So integrate and interoperability with existing medical records within the medical center, the emergency room, and clinics. Interoperability between providers. So if you're going to use the personal health record and link it to the medical record, it needs to be accessible by clinicians in different clinics as well, whichever physicians the patient are seeing. Resources. Patients and providers need technical assistance. For the systems, workflow integration, how are you going to integrate the use of the electronic personal health record into the day-to-day workflow of the clinic? Computer access for patients, having a kiosk in the waiting room, and even while patients are waiting in the exam rooms, having access to their personal health records while they're waiting. Some of the conclusions we've come up with is to definitely the personal health record does reinforce patient and family-centered care. It engages patients, it empowers them, and enables them to be engaged in their care. So it is an opportunity for partnership. So to answer the question in the title, yes, this is an opportunity for partnership, but we need to address certain things. The tension around health information ownership, patient information access, what information is released, and the timing of test results. Providers were concerned whether or not they should patients should have access to the test results before the provider even gets to see them. So this idea of information control and access. Infrastructure for healthcare systems and the electronic medical record and the personal health record interoperability. I know that that's coming and people are working on that in the health information technology field, but that is critical to build up the usefulness of the personal health record. Cost benefit, is there evidence that personal health records do in fact help patients manage their chronic disease? Provider readiness and workflow, preparing for these changes. And providers and patients both need sustainable support, guidelines, and training. And so I just want to end by saying that patients believe that the ability to send messages directly to the healthcare team would probably be the most useful for the personal health record, or the ability to look at and graph the trend line versus just an individual snapshot of their chronic disease, for example, their blood pressure, as in the case of this study. But as one provider mentioned, even if we get patients with low literacy, low computer skills to the site and looking at the information, how do we help them make sense of it? And so I think that's one of our challenges as we move forward with the use of electronic personal health records and medical records, is helping patients to understand and interpret their health information. And that concludes my presentation.